Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse for Chiropractors. Hosted by Dr. Don McDonald, author of the best-selling book, The Underdog Curse. We give vitalistic chiropractors a chance to learn from the best around the world, discovering how they overcame their challenges and achieved success. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Now listen up. It's time to crush the curse.
Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today I've decided to go to Boston. And my special guest today, she's been in practice for 35 years. She graduated from Life College. She has started her own practice and then is now in practice with her amazing husband. She also has taken leadership roles in the IFCO, the Women's League of Chiropractic, and also with her old state board, which is, we'll talk about that because that's always lots of stress as well. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Patty Giuliani.
Thank you. Okay, so it's Giuliano.
Giuliano. I'm sorry. You know what? I've actually butchered my last three guest names in a row. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just do that as a streak now. So I'm just going to do it every time.
No, it's funny because I was interviewed by Tristan Schaub on IFCO TV.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, and he did the same thing.
Giuliano.
I have a way of remembering it for people, but I won't even go there.
Well, tell me.
O stands for.
Oh, that.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, you mean like the big O?
Like, oh, yes. So okay. We're not going to say that on this recording because I always digress to.
Well, that's okay because I will never, ever forget it for the rest of my life. And we're going to know you for a long time, so that's good. I don't want to say the end of the word wrong, so that's good. So, like I like to start with all my guests, you've had an amazing career, and I want to find out how it all started in the first place. So how did you even find out about this crazy thing called chiropractic?
Well, I've been getting adjusted since I was 6 months old.
Woohoo!
My father actually started when he was 15, and he saw babies getting adjusted, and he said, if I have babies someday, I'm going to bring them to the chiropractor. There was no health talk. The chiropractor didn't do any marketing or anything. These were the days when, I grew up in New Jersey. So these were the days when you weren't really licensed.
Yeah.
And it was, my father said he had to go through a back door, but the chiropractor had like hundreds of patients and a lot of babies going in there. So that's why he took us. And my father would have made a great chiropractor. Him and my mom are just turned 90. My mom turned 90 on Saturday.
Wow.
And my dad's turning 90 in a couple of weeks. So she's older than him, sort of like me and Peter. So that was my beginning. And what's interesting is that, you know, our whole life was a chiropractic lifestyle. So people say, what is that lifestyle? Well, it's beyond getting adjusted. It was eating good, taking vitamins, thinking good. My parents were always about, you know, us focusing on the positive. My dad didn't want to hear anything negative. It's like, he didn't tell us anything negative. He goes, you don't need to know those things. Just, you know, look at the positive. And he's still like that today. And so with that, that chiropractic lifestyle, we all grew up very strong and healthy. It doesn't mean we never had colds and things like that. We might have, but we got through it without drugs, without anything. We never went to see the doctor, the medical doctor. Mm-hmm. And so my friend from high school, who I just met up with again last month, she told my parents and me that in high school, she said, I was obnoxious. She said, I was obnoxious in a good way. She said, you were always talking about chiropractic. And she goes, and I would make fun of you and tease you. She goes, and now she goes, I love my chiropractor. I go to my chiropractor every week to get my spine checked.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Denise.
How long did it take her to go to chiropractor? Just curious. Like, because she obviously didn't go when she was a teenager.
No, she didn't. But when I was in chiropractic school, I would come home and I would adjust all my friends.
Oh, cool.
And she still didn't get it, wouldn't go. And she didn't start going until like a few years ago, like the last couple years. And she's my age, you know, 60.
21.
Yeah. 20. So it took her a lot of years. So for people out there listening to this, you know, when your patients come in, practice members come in, and you know, they're just, you think they're not getting it. Just keep plugging away and keep talking and planting the seeds. And someday, you know, they'll come back to you and say, oh, I go to a chiropractor now.
You know. That's so cool. So did you know, like right when you're a child that you're for sure going to be a chiropractor, or was there a time that you'd actually decided that you would?
There was a time. So I went to college and I was a phys ed major and I did a minor in health. And then when I got out of school, I was a gymnast, and I got out of school and I was coaching gymnastics and I was working for a stockbroker. And I thought I was going to get my stockbroker license because I decided I didn't want to teach physical education. The kids really didn't want to learn. And I was so into it, it really broke my heart. So my boyfriend, the pre-Peter boyfriend of 7 years, he said to me, you're smart. What are you doing with your life? You're working in a job that you're not, it's not your passion. What's your passion? And I said, my passion is helping people. So I thought I was going to be a physical therapist because I had all of the background that I needed. I could just go an extra year and I'd get a master's in physical education, physical therapy.
Yeah.
And I was very disillusioned when I actually went to do some volunteer work as a physical therapist aide. Mm-hmm. And the amount of drugs that were given to people who had brain injuries to their spines, the spinal injuries and stuff. And I was like, oh, this isn't what I want to do. No, I want to be able to be in control. And I went to my chiropractor because I'd been going to my chiropractor and I said, you know, I think I want to be a chiropractor. And I said, but I don't know any women chiropractors. And he says, well, are you crazy? Of course there's women chiropractors. And so I went on this, you know, process of talking to women chiropractors. And 3 months later, I was at Life College down in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, this is where I'm going. And it was just a wonderful experience when I went down there kind of serendipitously. There were people down there that came from Newark, New Jersey, were born in the same hospital as I was same year, a couple days later. And I said, oh my God, it's a sign. I'm supposed to be here. So that's what got me into chiropractic. It was just kind of a fluky thing, you know, and thank God for the ex, because he's the one who really pushed me to live my dream, live my passion.
Right. I just had this thought flash because I thought if you became a stockbroker, they might have had a movie about you called Patty on Wall Street. I digress. I'm sorry. But I do have a question. Just curious, because at the time you went to Life University, what was it like compared to now? Because now like the campus is huge and they got all this stuff down there. Was it in the same location or was it just a smaller, or what was it like there?
Same location, airplane hangars, one story buildings. Our class had over 200 people in it. It was the first large class at Life. And out of the 220 people, there were 20 women.
Wow.
So if you ask me what it was like back then, I look at numbers. I'm looking at, you know, there were a small group of us women, and the men were all after us. And it's sort of like engineering school, you know?
You had your choice, right? You're like...
Yeah, but I was with my...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
He came to school with me. He was an architect. And so nowadays... 51% in certain schools.
Yeah.
Of women in classes. It didn't matter the classrooms. It didn't matter the campus. I loved school. I loved the people in my class. I loved everything about it. I worked really hard. I was the class note taker. So then I would, you know, have them printed up I would sell them to the class. For a penny more per page. And then at the end of each quarter, I'd take all the money from that and we'd have a party.
Oh, and wow.
So we were a close class, even at over 200 of us. Actually, Pat Gentempo started in our class, in my class.
Oh, no way. That's so cool. Yeah. So, and you're doing it now. You're still doing it now, having parties all the time for chiropractic.
Yes.
So look at if you want to have a party, Patty's the one to organize it, right?
Absolutely.
That's cool. So when you graduated, how did you decide where to go? And did you open up by yourself or do associate, or how did your career start?
Well, when we were in school, our last quarter, we were asked to put together a plan.
Yeah. Business plan.
Business plan. There you go. Business plan with, you know, projections of, you know, how many new people would you need to see and how many patient visits would you need to see in order to meet your overhead? And what do you think the rent would be? So we were talked through this whole process. It was Jennifer Brandon who was the teacher. And she has been my mentor and idol for years. I love that woman. She taught me so much. And she was so philosophically congruent and all that it really helped us. It helped me to kind of form my plan. So that my boyfriend at the time and I decided that if we went back to New Jersey, it would be challenging. Our families were very kind of, you know, intense. You know, yeah. I have 23 first cousins.
Wow.
And grandparents. And there was like, you know, it was like, Patty, I need you to take me here or take me there. And I love my grandparents, but I needed some space. Yep. So we decided Boston was the place we were going to go. He was going to do his architecture thing. I was going to do my chiropractic thing. And so all the plans were made for Boston. And I went up right after I graduated with my good friend, Dr. Eddie Cohen, who has since passed. And Eddie and I were going to start a practice together. Eddie's Jewish. I'm Italian. We're going to call it the Jewapi Chiropractic Center.
That's awesome.
Politically correct, of course.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, we both decided it would be best if we started our own practice. So I started my practice in the Back Bay of Boston. And sorry about that. And you know what? I was so naive to everything. I just thought, okay, I'm just going to start my practice. I'm going to go out and talk to people on the street. I'm going to carry my spine around. I'm going to go do health talks. I'm going to do spinal screenings. And I did all of those. And within 3 months, I was meeting my overhead. Mm-hmm. I know when I tell people that nowadays, they're like, how do you do that now? I did not have $250,000 in loans. I think right. I had about 80 grand in loans. And so I just started paying off my loans. And my whole apartment, I worked out of my apartment, which is like right on Newbury Street in Boston,
yeah.
Which is kind of the Fifth Avenue of Boston. And truly, it was a joy. It was wonderful. And I met people, I met a couple of women who came and worked with me. They said they didn't need to be paid, that they just wanted to come and be with me and get to know chiropractic better. And one of them went off to chiropractic school and the other one went to spinology school, which was at the time Reggie Gold was had spinology school in Pennsylvania. And so then after that, I stole Peter's CA because I met Peter after that. And I met Peter when I was still engaged to the other guy, which is another whole story, which I don't think you want me to tell here.
Now everybody will be like, oh, what happened? Like, that's salting.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to call you for the story, but I will give you the short version that I met Peter as a colleague. We went out to lunch. Nothing, you know, no attraction at lunch. And after lunch, he walked me back to my office and gave me a hug. And I swear, I've told this a million times, but to this day, I can remember that hug. And I can remember saying to myself, oh my God, I'm going to marry this guy. It was like the world stopped and a door opened. And I decided to walk through it. Wow. And 5 months later, Peter and I were married.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. So everybody, my parents, everybody was very thrilled. They love him. And to this day, 35 years later.
Yeah.
So we got married. But before we got married, we decided that we were going to practice together. Mm-hmm. And so I had my practice for a year and a half and I sold it. And I was seeing about 110 people a week, which I knew I could do more, but all the stress of breaking up with the first guy, meeting Peter, yeah, it was just, you know, it took its toll on my practice. Mm-hmm. And so that was that. That was that chapter. Then Peter and I opened up a practice together in Westwood, Massachusetts. It was in a home. It was a we went to the basement and it had a carport and a garage, and we converted that whole space, 850 square feet, into an office. And it took us, I think, 5 or 6 months for us to meet overhead. So I was working the practice Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Peter was working in an associate practice. And within, I think it was 5 months, we had our goal set, and we were able to get the practice to a point where Peter could leave the associate practice and come and work full time with me. Cool. And that was 1984.
Wow.
And so we've been in Westwood since 84. And then 5 years into it, I had two kids. And I'm sorry, 7 years into it, two kids, no backyard and no privacy. I was like, we are moving. And Peter's like, no, we're not. We're staying here. We're paying off all our debts. We paid off all our debts within 5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We followed the Greg Stanley plan, which, right, you know, really worked. And yeah, for those people want to know that, that's another conversation that's not going to happen here. It'll happen somewhere else. And then I found this property down the street. And at first Peter was like, no, 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 no. And then it was yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I had my way of getting Peter to finally come around to seeing that I'm right, even though he says he's right all the time.
So you have your master influential powers.
I do. Sometimes it takes me a little while, but no, he is thrilled. We're both thrilled to be here in our space, which is, you know, we built a 5,800 square foot home, of which 1,200 of it is office. And then the upstairs from the office is where we have our Mass Alliance for Chiropractic Philosophy gatherings once a month. And we've been doing that since we moved into this house almost 27 years ago. We have not missed a Saturday night. Peter and I have missed a few, but the MACP has gone on even without us. When our son decided to get married on the second Saturday of June a couple years ago, I told him, I said, Christopher, I'm so sorry. I won't be able to make it to your wedding. I have to be at philosophy night.
Yeah, that went over real good, eh?
There was silence at the other end of the phone. But no, I'll be at your wedding.
That's so funny. Now, so when you went from the first office with Peter, did you go right to where you are now?
Yes, we didn't. We did not move into the office here until every nail, every painting was, everything was hung up and done and ready to go. And we did it over a weekend. So we closed on a Friday and a Monday, and we had the whole office set up so that we could see patients on that Tuesday of the following week. It was pretty amazing. But we, you know, when we put our minds to something, we get a lot done.
You get a lot done. So when you guys were first growing your practice out there, because like you said, when you're in Boston, you're in the city. So you're like going around, you're meeting people. There's lots of people walking by. Kind of where you are now, it's like we had our vitality shift there. You have a beautiful place, beautiful location, beautiful space upstairs. How did you grow your practice there? Because it's not really like people all walking all around, right?
True. So you know what's interesting is that this second practice was harder for me because I knew what I knew, whereas the first time I didn't know what I didn't know. But now all of a sudden I knew what I needed to do to start this practice, and I didn't have Peter with me full time. We did go and do talks and things. So it was challenging the first time, but I still did it. So how do we do it? We hired someone who got us talks with mothers groups, churches, church groups, the fire station, because they have EMTs there. And so we could do some of their continuing education credits for them by talking about, you know, how to lift, how to move. And of course, it was never a talk that we did that we didn't talk about the importance of the spine, the nerve system, and how the nerve system controls everything. And that in order to be the best firefighter or police officer or teacher or mother, whatever, that you need to have, your brain needs to talk to your body and your body needs to talk to your brain. And so we brought that simple message, profound but simple message, to all the groups that we spoke at. And so our practice grew, and you get the one or two people from each of the one of those groups who becomes your chiropractic evangelist, and they go out and they just tell everybody the story. I remember Donna, whose husband was a firefighter. Donna came in and was able to get pregnant. She only had half of her uterus or something, if I'm remembering correctly. And she just started sending everybody to us and their kids. So right. We started seeing a lot of kids, but more kids came after we had kids. So as soon as we had Katie, all of a sudden the doors like opened wide and people started bringing their kids in. So if you want to practice with a lot of kids, start having babies.
See, there's the market. See, people are missing that. You want to see more kids, have more kids. There you go, right? Well, because I guess it's kind of like, you know, if you buy a red car, you see red cars everywhere. If you have a dog, like we have our dog, Lux, all of a sudden we're talking about dogs and we see dogs everywhere. And then I guess the same thing would be with kids, right? Because it's right. such a takes up a lot of space in your brain because it's so much work.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean to say that there are a lot of chiropractors out there that see a lot of kids who don't have kids.
Right.
So, you know.
It's just a bonus.
it's a bonus, yeah, I'd say. Makes it a little easier.
Totally. So we always like talking about the three levels of practice. So you grew your practice, and you guys have an amazing, successful practice, you and Peter. And has it been really busy like that for quite a few years? Like, it's been like that a long time?
You know, Don, I remember reading the Marianne Williamson quote where she says, you know, shine your light so that others can shine. And I still to this day feel a little embarrassed by saying this because so many people struggle, but our practice either, you know, it went up or it leveled, and then it went up and leveled, and it's always, always done that. Mm-hmm. And I have to say it's because Peter and I, we're such a great team.
Yep.
And we have always employed coaches, and we're ever learning. I was talking to my good friend Pam Jarboe this morning.
Yeah.
We had a little morning talk, and she said, Patty, that's something I tell people about you all the time because you're ever learning. And I am. I'm really good at new patient first and second visits, yet I'm always looking for, can I do it better? And how do you do it? And I'm always asking chiropractors and I want to listen to them because I can always tweak it and be better. So I would say that that's why our practice continues to be very successful. And then again, there's Peter and Patty. You know, we have this synergy between us. And when we're in the office, the Patty and Peter team is very engaging. And people, our practice members look to us and they look at us. And I feel like we're a model for a relationship. You know, Peter will say, oh, look at Dr. Patty. Isn't she cute? And they're like, oh, God, give me the
throw up.
And I look at them and I say, you know what? This would be really good for you guys to learn.
Yeah.
I said, because it's true. I am cute.
I know. You should try it sometime.
Try it. You know, my parents, they'll come and my dad makes kind of jokes around how every time he walks in the door, he goes, how you doing, Peter? And he goes, I'm doing great. You want to know why? And my father's like, okay, why? And he goes, because I'm married to the most wonderful woman on the planet. And my dad's like, oh, you're making it bad for me. And I said, maybe you should start saying that to your wife. And then, you know, Peter, you know, there, people think he's joking and he's not being, sincere, but, you know, I love him. He loves me and would do anything for me. And, you know, he asked the question, can someone ever been loved too much? And I always raise my hand. Yeah.
But, you know, but you're not complaining.
I'm not complaining, but it's like he does. And I feel like, I need to step up. So it allows me to step up, you know, and that affects the practice. So back to the practice, our relationship affects the practice. And I was talking to Irene Gold the other day when I had lunch with her in Florida. I get around, you know.
Well, see, no, but that's exactly it, right? It's because all your friends are doing the same thing. They're all trying to connect with others because you lift them up, they lift you up. And when you're surrounding yourself with them all the time, it doesn't give you an opportunity to kind of get so much in the doldrums, right? Because some chiropractors are so isolated, they might go for 2 or 3 months without ever talking to another chiropractor that's on fire. So that'd be hard.
I can't even imagine. And I know that there are a lot of chiropractors out there that happens too. I'm blessed. You know, we have this wonderful group in Massachusetts. I have the League of Chiropractic Women, now the IFCO, ICPA, Peter, Dr. Sherry. Now, Dr. Sherry came on board 3 years ago, and what a blessing. It was like an angel just dropped into our laps, and Sherry's been with us in the practice as our associate for the last 3 years. And I feel more like, I mean, she just, when she came in, it was almost like she had been here forever, you know, how she talks and how she presents things to patients. And it didn't take much for me to acclimate her to the first and second visit, where she does a phenomenal job and of explaining chiropractic and having people see the value and be able to sign up. And most of the people in our office, we sign up for a year of care.
Right.
So we have a really great percentage. I think we're in the 80s, 85% or so. We don't see a lot of influx of new people, yet the people that we do have come in, a lot of them. Yeah, they stay. Peter and I are proud of the statistic that we share with people is that, so we've been in practice together for 35 years, and we have over just about 200 people right now who are part of what we call our Platinum Club, who have been under care regularly once a week or more for 20 years or more.
That's huge.
That is huge. And, you know, we have a high PVA, obviously, because of that. So we're the kind of practice that we want to see, you know, we want to see new people. Obviously, we want to share chiropractic with as many people as we can. yet I'm happy to see 10, 12 new people in a month and have 10 of them start care, you know, as opposed to why put energy out and see 50 to 100 people. Granted, yes, you're planting seeds. I don't want to, you know,
minimize it.
Disparaging to anyone who sees high volume, because if that's what they like, great. I'd rather see less and hold on to more. And that's kind of how we've always run our practice. So that's why we never had those dips. It was always zoop or zoop.
Well, and you guys seem very family oriented. So it seems like you actually want to grow your chiropractic family, and then you spend a lot of effort nurturing your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family. And then we shifted our focus and created community.
Yes.
So it was first family. Okay, now let's create community. And that's where we're at now. We want to go out into the community more. We travel so much. We're hardly in this town. Our kids didn't go to school in this town. So we're just getting to know people in our town. And we signed up with TLC, with Dean DePice. Like I said before, we have had many coaches along the way. Yep. And now we just kind of morph into different coaches. And now it's Dean and Jen DePice. And he's given us ways to go out in the community and how to get our name known more. So that's what we're working on now. And it's challenging, you know, because it's so comfortable, practice. It's comfortable for me to just sit back and say, let's just, you know, I just turned 65 and I'm not retiring yet. It's easy for me to say, let's just coast. But I can't do that because there are a lot of people out there that don't know that, you know, chiropractic is such an integral part of anybody's lifestyle if they want to be as healthy and as strong and as competent and as congruent, as alive as possible.
Right. Now there's always a balance, right? Because we always want to have kind of never-ending improvement. We always want to continue to improve. But I know I've gone through this, and I know you've gone through this, and a lot of chiropractors have gone through this, is that once you kind of get rolling, and then you have children, and then you have a busy practice, sometimes you start to get overloaded and get a little bit burnt out. And so I was wondering if you can give an example of any time in your career where you got burnt out, and kind of what were your learnings from that, so that we can kind of share that message.
Okay. So maybe it was burnt out, or I could equate this to being burnt out. I had metal poisoning. And what happened was, it was a process that all of a sudden it hit me, sort of like the patient who comes in and says, never had this problem until last week. Yeah. Well, I literally one day woke up and I thought I was dying. And 3 days later, I was ready. I had said to Peter, I guess this is it. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't bend my hands like this without excruciating pain. I'm sure people who have, Lyme disease probably go through the same thing. And I didn't know what was wrong. And I went to a naturopath, and come to find out, he tested me on a specific machine called a Biomeridian machine. And he said, you have metal poisoning and your nerve system is completely shutting down, and your organs are shutting down, because I hadn't been able to pee or poop in 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And so we started on a regime of minerals and vitamins and all kinds of stuff. And long story short, I went for chelation, like intravenous chelation, for several times. And basically, it took a lot of the metals out of my body, but it also took the minerals out of my body. So if you want to call that being burnt out.
Well, you know what? It could be anything, because it could be someone getting a car accident. It could be an injury like that. Like that's kind of like, well, it's a chemical injury.
Yeah. So here's the blessing. You said, what did I learn from it? The blessing I learned was that I couldn't keep pushing and pushing and pushing myself. I had two kids. I was driving them to private schools in two different directions. Then I'd come back home, go in the office, work all day, have to make dinner for the kids, and then I'd do a health talk, or whatever, or we doing stuff for the practice. So I was all consumed. And then we would take our kids to New Beginnings and to Sherman Lyceum and to every seminar we went to, our coaching seminars, we would take them. We'd take them out of school. And I pushed myself way too far. And yes, I was exposed to a lot of metals. We found out it was from the x-rays, the silver, the cadmium that's in x-rays, and my body was absorbing it. And finally, the cup overflowed. And so the lesson is that I need to take care of myself. I need to have balance in my life, flexibility in my life. I needed to get help, ask for help with the kids, driving the kids to school. And the blessing is that I learned that I don't have to make myself sick in order to get what I need in life. And so I keep exploring that. You know, Don, it's like a constant exploration. Whenever I feel like less than 100%, like yesterday was like a less than 100% day, I go, okay, Patty, are you making yourself sick because of something? And then Peter will always say, Patty, are you stressed about something? What's going on? Are you anxious? And right away I say, no, no, no. And then I pause and I listen. So last night I went through a whole process of, okay, what the hell is going on, Patty? What are you up to? Because I don't want to do that again. I don't want to make myself sick to get what I need. And what do I need? I need to take care of myself. And it's a constant reminder because I give. Somebody calls, somebody needs me, somebody, you know, whatever it is, I'm always ready to say yes. And I need to say, I would love to do that. Right now I can't. So I've created, you know,
boundaries. Yeah.
So, and my kids, you know, I don't have to make boundaries with them. They kind of make the boundaries themselves. They've learned. So I thank God that I've taught that to our kids, that make boundaries, and they do, and they do that very well. Christopher, excellent. Katie is still, she's still learning, and I'm able to share my experiences with her and say, Katie, don't do what your mom did. Don't run your body down to where you're flat on your back for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was an eye-opening, being on my back for 3 months. I couldn't get out. I didn't get out of my bedroom. And I asked Peter to this day, I said, who did everything? And he's like, duh. Like, who do you think did everything?
We have these little elves that are come out of the closet in the middle of the night and do all the housework. No.
Yeah, Peter did everything, but he asked for help. He had people driving the kids to school. He went out and ordered food for dinner and things like that. And, you know, so I lost that time in my life. But what I gained was the knowledge and the blessing that I could share with my kids and people that ask.
Well, and thank you for sharing that, because like, that's one of the reasons I like to get this message out, because it seems like every single person I've talked to, they've gone through that story where we're so in the mindset to serve that we sometimes forget about ourselves, and we don't realize that if we're broken down, we can't serve to the best level, right? So it's almost got to look after, we call it unselfishly selfish.
I like that, yes.
Now, let's talk about the next stage of life or practice is usually the contribution. Contribution. And so tell me a little bit about some of your experiences in leadership in chiropractic.
Okay, so Peter and I have had over 30 interns, externs, I don't know what different schools call them different. So it's chiropractors coming within their last 3 months of school. They've completed all of their requirements and all of their clinic requirements, as well as academic. And they come and stay with us and they get immersed totally. So I consider that a leadership skill, because when we have interns, our last intern was Billy Stetzel and his wife, Caitlin. Billy's chiropractor, Kate, is going to organize Billy and set the office up with him. Mm-hmm. And you get totally immersed in what it's like to be a chiropractic family, a chiropractic couple. And they're the first couple that we've had. What a blessing for both of us,
all of us,
to have that experience. It causes me to rise to the highest level because I feel responsible that I have these interns coming in and they're looking to me to learn. So I have to be my best.
Yeah.
And so that's allowed me, you know, I say, if you can teach somebody, even straight out of school, if you can teach someone else something, you become a better chiropractor. So that's been ongoing for the last 26, 27 years. We've been doing that. Danny Knowles actually was our first intern. So it hasn't been 26 years. Danny got out of school, I think, 18 or 19 years ago. So that's when we started.
Yeah.
And besides that, the League of Chiropractic Women is the next thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I did go on the state board in Massachusetts from 93 to 96, 6 years, once a week. And it immersed me into chiropractic politics, which are you still there?
Yeah, we're still good. Yeah, we're still good. Yeah.
I lost you. I thought that chiropractic, the political issues were, whether you were adjusting people only or you were adjusting and using modalities. And what I got from being on the board was it's much bigger than that. And the people in our profession that don't have a chance to actually explore that, what I'll share is that it's not about adjusting or adjusting plus. It's about your intention and your reason for doing what you do.
Right.
So I don't adjust people because I want them to have this great miracle story that comes out, you know, because chiropractic is so great. I want to adjust people so that I can empower them so that they can see without interference, their body is pretty amazing, fantastic.
Right.
And knows how to do what it needs to do, when it needs to do it. The innate intelligence of the body is always ever present, 100% of the time. It's just the matter of the body that can be less than 100%. If all chiropractors could get that, that is what I would love to download from here and upload into every chiropractor. It's not about whether you use your hands or an instrument. It's not about whether you're whatever. It's about, are you pushing on people's spines to make all their aches, pains, and problems go away? And then if they don't go away, you just don't talk about it. But if they do go away, you praise chiropractic.
You take credit for it, yeah.
Take credit. So if we could all just get on the same page that no matter what, if a person has a symptom, doesn't have a symptom, if you can check them, just like a dentist would check someone's teeth to see, is there any interference? Is a subluxation present that may have been there for 2 minutes or 20 years? Is it there and it's impeding their ability to express their fullest potential? And you know what? Under chiropractic care, I still got metal poisoning.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I got bronchitis. I was under chiropractic care. It doesn't mean chiropractic doesn't work. It just means for me that the stressors coming in are greater than what my body can deal with at that moment. So my job is to look at what are the stressors and how do I take care of them? Me for me and you for you and them for them. That's their job. And if I can teach them that simple thing, well, sounds simple, yet to do that in our lives, to stop and take a poll of, you know, like make an assessment. What's going on in my life? What can I do better for my life? Just like we talked about, what can I do better for my practice?
Yeah.
What can I do better for me? And how can I teach that to the people that come through my door? And I think that that is another reason why Peter and I have a successful practice, because we are praising people. Dr. Patty, my headache went away. Wow, isn't that amazing? that I could just push on your spine. And the wisdom and the genius that's in you is able to shift something, you know? And maybe the next time it won't, because it's up to you and it's up to where you are at that moment. What are you eating? What are you thinking? What kind of stresses are you under in your life? Right. So I know I get very excited about that, because that is my passion and my hope and dream for our profession, that it's not about that other stuff. It's about really the philosophy and the application of the philosophy, that either you believe that there's intelligence or you don't.
Right.
And medical doctors practice as if there isn't an intelligence in the body. And not all of them, but for the most part, that's how they come through school. And so if they would just start giving people hope and just letting people know, you know, this drug I'm giving you, it might just carry you, bridge you over, but it's not going to heal you or cure you.
Right.
You need to figure out what's going on. And because they can't figure it out for them, I guess they figure, why would they empower them? Because right. of ego, you know, but we need to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's pretty cool. Now it did. Cause that was part of the
leadership
stuff. And then you're going to talk about the League of Chiropractic Women too.
League of Chiropractic Women. It's 6 years in the making. 14 of us got together. 17 of us were the founders, and it is alive and thriving. Kim Stetzel is our fearless president. I was president with her for a time, and then I stepped down to kind of put my energies into other places. I still have my energy in the LCW. I'm at most events where I'm at the table and inviting women to check out the LCW and support. You're supporting all women in chiropractic. So we were very particular about making it about all women, not just chiropractors, spouses, CAs, DC to Bs, and women within the profession who are working in chiropractic schools, and women that are supporting chiropractors in our practices. So that's what it's all about. It's still a very new organization at 6 years old. And, you know, we've got hundreds of members. And the reason to become a member is because you want to support the activities that the LCW is doing to bring women and women's voices, you know, onto the chiropractic scene louder and more than more. This weekend at New Beginnings, half of the speakers were women.
Awesome.
That has never happened. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be at the Berkshire event, the Berkshire Philosophy event. Half of the speakers are women. So we've created a tidal wave. Women are speaking on more platforms. Women are women who are not chiropractors are speaking more in their communities and at their women's groups. And it's not just chiropractic. We're espousing the vitalistic principles of, you know, living from the inside out, you know, principles that the ICPA espouses within all of their programs. And I'm a staunch promoter of the ICPA. I'm the president of the Academy of Chiropractic Family Practice, which confers the academic, checks the academic requirements of the councils, the ICPA council, and gives the diplomas to the people who get their certificates and their diplomats with the ICPA. So that's another place where I've taken on leadership. Wow.
You've done a lot.
I can't believe I'm doing all these things.
Aren't you amazing? Oh, Peter's so right when he says you're so amazing.
Yeah, well, so is he. And I've just been elected onto the IFCO board, International Federation of Chiropractors and Organizations, because that group also, not well known in all facets of our profession, and it should be, because the IFCO stands for the practice of chiropractic for those chiropractors who want to practice the location, analysis, and the correction of vertebral subluxation. It doesn't make anybody wrong. It's our niche. Just like the League of Chiropractic Women doesn't make men wrong. That's the niche, and that is where the energy is going right now, because the energy needs to go there. The IFCO needs energy, needs people to understand that we are holding the line for chiropractic so that we don't lose the location, the analysis, and the correction of vertebral subluxation. And so that's why I joined the IFCO board, and I've been a member since the 90s.
Wow. Yeah, holy cow, you do a lot of stuff, my dear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Everybody. Now, I know I have a lot of women who listen to the podcast, and so, like, just if they are interested in joining the League of Chiropractic Women, how could they find more information on that?
They can go to the website, it's lcwomen.com.
Okay.
Just go to the website. I was like doing it in my head, you know.
That's perfect. Or Google it. I'm sure you
can. Or Google it, League of Chiropractic Women. And you can sign up online. Or if you had any more questions, you can call me or email me. And I'm happy to give you my reasons for joining.
That's amazing. Now, in closing, I always like to have my guests, give the parting words of wisdom or inspiration to the listeners. We have listeners all around the world now, and I'd like to give you the floor for the last few minutes to share whatever's on your mind.
Wow. Well, hello to everyone around the world. I guess I would just reiterate what I said before about the philosophy. I live my life innately, and I trust the innate wisdom and the genius within me, so that when I do have issues like the metal poisoning, I draw my line way, 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 way out here. I don't enter hospitals unless I'm going to visit someone, which I still don't like to do. And I'm not saying that's for everyone. And I'm not saying I do it just because that's what I think I'm supposed to do. I do it because that truly feels like the right thing to do. Because every time I've had health issues, I have gotten through it and I gotten to the other side and realized, oh my God, I did it. The wisdom and the genius of my body got me through that. And I was willing to get through it and have the end result be death. And a lot of people, I mean, I've gone to that point where I said, I might die, yet I need to do what I know is right for myself. I am not going to take painkillers to kill pain, because pain is information. And if you're killing it, then you don't know that you're doing more damage. Not that I love pain, yet I listen to my body. And no matter what it's telling me, positive, things that we consider negative, I listen to it. And I work my way through it, and I find providers outside of chiropractic.
Yeah.
I get Reiki done. I get acupuncture, massage. What else? Oh, I go to a physical therapist who does soft tissue manipulation, nerve manipulation. Mm-hmm. I go to an Alexander practitioner. I get soma work, Rolfing work. So much.
I think that's a good lesson for us too, is that you'd never go to one person that just did all of those things.
No.
Everybody can have their lane. Totally.
It takes a village. And I tell patients, and you can tell your patients, I mean, chiropractic isn't the end all be all. People say to me, whenever I'm hurting or something, they go, oh, you should go see a good chiropractor. I'm like, I already do see a good chiropractor. Doesn't mean because I'm under chiropractic care that I don't need other input to my body. I do so much. I need all the help I can get. It takes a village. And sometimes for our patients, it takes a village for them too. And we have to be willing. And maybe this is the parting words. We have to be willing to say that chiropractic does what it does. It opens up the power lines for people. Yet they might need other things too to help support them. And why not? Why not have a good referral base of people that you can send people to? When people in our practice have a lot of pain and I'm adjusting them, I say it's not from lack of adjusting. Why don't you go? Maybe you want to go see the acupuncturist and see if they can help you with that rather than taking drugs. So that's what I would part with, is that we need to be willing to humble ourselves and to be open to having a village take care of us as well as our patients.
Wow. Amen, sister. Well, I just want to thank you for one, again, thanks for everything that you do for chiropractic. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
And also thank you for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. You guys are great friends to us, and we love and appreciate you very much.
Love you, and love to Brandy too.
You betcha. Thanks, John. So everybody out there, we learned a lot of stuff today. Self-care, hang around inspiring people, make sure you have good coaching, and take on leadership roles, because when you teach others, you get better yourself. So as always, take these lessons and don't forget to crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.